Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Evan Roberts on a Saturday. We get set for week 9 of the NFL season and your fantasy league season. And joining me right now to help you through some of the tough decisions you may or may not have to make is Jamie Eisenberg of CBS. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm doing great. Let me start with some of these trades that we saw over the last couple of days and how they're going to impact all sorts of people. The Demaryius Thomas trade, clearly it became a priority when Will Fuller went down. If you are someone who has Demaryius Thomas, are you excited about this trade? How do you view this deal in the scope of fantasy?
You have to be excited for a couple of reasons. One, I think there was going to get to a point in Denver where Cortland Sutton was going to start to take away more playing time and certainly more targets because Emmanuel Sanders has clearly established himself as the best receiver in Denver right now. And two, you get a quarterback upgrade. You know, I don't think Deshaun Watson is the best thrower in the world, but he's certainly better than what Case Keenum has proven to be. And so this is the best quarterback that Thomas has played with since Peyton Manning. And so the hope would be is that while he may not be the guy, he's not the alpha dog in this receiving core anymore, or his receiving core anymore, he's going to get, you know, single coverage more times than not, and hopefully Deshaun Watson leans on him the same way he leaned on Fuller.
What about Cortland Sutton? Because he's been sort of productive. I mean, he puts up 5, 6, 7 fantasy points a week, but he's not getting a ton of targets. How big do you think that target number gets now with Demaryius not there?
Yeah, Demaryius has averaged about 7 targets a game. So, you know, the hope would be is that the majority of that goes to Sutton. I don't think the Broncos are making this move without wanting to get Sutton more involved. You know, obviously, you know, you have the salary cap ramifications and what Thomas was making and, you know, wanting to move on from him. But this is also the reason that they make this trade is to free up playing time and opportunity for their young player. You know, they drafted the two kids, Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, to be their receiving core of the future. And so the future is now for him. So of all the trade situations that have happened, you know, you can debate who's the biggest winner, biggest loser. I think in my mind, the biggest winner is Cortland Sutton, because now those opportunities will be hopefully through the roof and he can deliver a big production in the second half of the season.
So would you be aggressive if you were a guy or gal out there, you need a receiver, would you try to kind of pry Cortland Sutton away, especially if he's not being played by the team that has him right now?
Absolutely. You know, that's the type of move you want to make. It's also, you know, if you're in any sort of keeper league and you have Sutton and you're trying to acquire a piece that you can use now, you know, to a team that's out of it, that's the type of trade you want to make. You know, give somebody that can use Sutton next year. You can use somebody else now. But, yeah, if you can get Cortland Sutton on your roster, I think, you know, somebody asked me this question on Twitter. Who's this year's version of Odell Beckham, that second-half star that could be great? Nobody's going to play at that level, clearly, but Sutton, to me, is the one that has that next breakout type of ability, the second-half guy that really be a difference-maker in your league.
All right, the other wide receiver deal is Golden Tate was traded away, and Golden Tate was leading the Lions in targets by a pretty good number. So Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay benefit. Who else do you think benefits from Tate not being around anymore?
You know, they have two guys that they're going to try and, you know, play in their slot position. You know, I think they're going to try out a couple guys, too. I think it was Bruce Ellington from the Texans who was released, had a workout there this week. But T.J. Jones and Brandon Powell are two guys that I think are going to try and, you know, fill that slot role. But I don't think it's really a guy stepping into Golden Tate's role. It's the two outside guys that benefit
right.
The most. Marvin Jones and Galladay clearly get a huge boost. You know, Galladay has been a second-year breakout already and so had a little bit of a lull the last couple of games for them because they've run the ball with such success. Now they're hitting a point in their schedule where they're going to face some tougher defenses, have to throw the ball a little bit more. So I think that second-half breakout starts to get back on track. And then Jones has really struggled a good portion of the year. He's had a hard time when Galladay's been healthy over the last 2 years. And so now with Tate gone, I think it's now 10 games over the last 2 seasons that Jones has had at least 7 targets. In those 10 games, 8 of them, he's got 90 yards or a touchdown. So you figure the targets go up for him also, and that's a big boost.
Yeah, Galladay is interesting because after that first game against the Jets, I viewed him and said, man, I'd love to get this guy on my team. I could see him having that breakout year, and it looked that way for a few weeks, but really the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's been just a non-factor. So this could kind of, like you said, reset the breakout for him with Golden Tate not being around.
Absolutely. And again, you know, you talk about, like you said, I think Golden Tate was getting about 27% of the targets there, which is a huge number for any receiver. And so you look at the 7 to 9 targets, where are they going to go? I don't think it's T.J. Jones or Brendan Powell. They don't have a tight end to speak of. You know, Michael Roberts had that 2-touchdown game against the Dolphins a few weeks ago, but that's an anomaly. That's not going to happen on a week-to-week basis. They'll throw the ball to their running backs, clearly. But, yeah, Galladay gets a big boost. Jones gets a big boost. And for this week, if they don't have Xavier Rhodes on the other side for the Vikings, that could be a huge game for the Lions passing it.
Oh, yeah, that is definitely big. We're talking to Jamie Eisenberg about fantasy. All right, Golden ends up in Philadelphia. From a real-world perspective, I think it's a great move for the Eagles. Why not? But how does this impact Ertz, Aguilar, Jeffrey, as far as how many targets you think those guys are going to get?
It's going to be a downgrade, but I don't think it's a huge downgrade. You know, Golden Tate was clearly operating in a receiving core that was crowded because, like we just talked about, Galladay has, had the chance to play well. Jones has had his moments. I don't think all of a sudden Carson Wentz looks at Golden Tate and is, okay, now I have my guy. He's had two guys that have really been good for him over the last 2 years. So they get a little bit of a downgrade. Ertz is obviously still going to be one of the top five tight ends. Maybe he goes from being the number one guy to the number three guy. If you want to put him behind George Kittle now moving forward, fine. But, you're not getting rid of him. You're not benching him. And then when you look at Jeffrey, he's sort of been a target hog this year, which is not the norm for him. Last year, he really wasn't that type of player. He was more of a big play threat, scored a lot of touchdowns, didn't have a lot of 100-yard games. This year, it's been a little bit different because I don't think they've had the same type of production, from Nelson Aguilar like we saw last year. So Tate will fit in. He loses a little bit in this trade. Jeffrey loses a little bit in this trade, but all those guys are still going to be starting.
Do you expect a lot of changes offensively from the Browns? Because, think about it. The coach has gone offensive-minded, head coach Hugh Jackson. The offensive coordinator has gone in Todd Haley. Do you expect any changes on the way targets are laid out, the way they run the football, now that the offense, at least the way it's run, should be different based on those two guys not being around?
Maybe probably a little bit. I think the one guy who you want to look at and could be sitting on your waiver wire because he's been so bad this season is Duke Johnson. That's someone that they really involved in the passing game last year, and that was really Hugh Jackson. Todd Haley, for whatever reason, and it was a surprise, given that he worked with Le'Veon Bell and how they used him as a receiver out of the backfield, they didn't use Duke Johnson to his strength. So he's somebody I think that could benefit with this move. Remember, it's the running backs coach that was promoted to the offensive coordinator.
Right, so that's true.
He should know the guys in that room. I still think it's Nick Chubb is going to, continue to have the two games that we've seen, 18 carries, that's going to continue. But this is really about featuring Baker Mayfield. So if they're going to continue to, be trailing in games, their defense has really played well. But this is about getting Baker and Jarvis Landry on the same page, Baker and Njoku on the same page, and finding another guy, whether it's Antonio Callaway, who's not going to play this week, but Rashad Higgins and some of these other young receivers. But for the most part, I think he's going to see a lot of the same things. I don't think a lot of things change just because those two guys are out of the building right now.
Do you think, I'll give you two receivers that have been very productive the last couple of games they've played, and there's been buys mixed in. Tyrell Williams in L.A. and Marquez Valdez-Scantling with the Packers, who's putting up pretty good fantasy numbers. Give me your thoughts on both of those guys right now.
Love Marquez Valdez-Scantling this week for a couple of reasons. One, should be a high-scoring game between the Packers and Patriots. Two, Geronimo Allison, who was a big reason why you've seen, we'll just call him MVS to make it easy. MVS had those big games going into last week because Allison and Randall Cobb were out. Well, Allison's not going to play again this week, so he gets a big boost. He should be a must-start receiver, and at least going into Friday, on our side on CBS Sports, he was about 19% owned, which tells you there's 80% of leagues that can go get him and get somebody to start this week. Tyrell Williams a little bit tougher to, say he's a must-start guy just because it's the big plays, and you don't usually see a lot of targets for him. So if the targets can continue to rise, then he's somebody that's going to be a must-start guy. But for right now, he's really, the de facto number two guy between him and Mike Williams. I still think there's going to be a big second half for Keenan Allen. He's one of my favorite buy-low candidates before your trade deadline. You go back to last year, he had a bad first half, monster second half. I think that's in store for him as well. But if you're looking at these two guys, though, go get Marquez Valdez-Scantling for sure.
Yeah, give me a couple of defenses to look at this week if you're one that likes to pick them up on a week-by-week basis.
Well, first off, if you want to try and, we always say beat the waiver wire. If you're inclined to carry two defenses, go get the Chargers. A lot of people drop them coming off their bye. They have Seattle this week. Not a lot of people are going to use them. But they get Oakland next week, and we saw what that game looked like on Thursday night. But for this week, Dallas, if they're still out there, the Titans offense, I know they played well in London, but for the most part, they've struggled. Dallas' defense has actually played really well. The Redskins' defense, I know you look at it and you say, the Falcons, wow, that's a good offense. But on the road, two games so far this year, they only scored 29 combined points, and Matt Ryan typically tends to struggle outside of the dome. So the Redskins getting ha-ha Clinton Dix, they're going to play better. The Panthers defense, you look at them and facing Tampa Bay, I know they'll score points for the Bucs, but Ryan Fitzpatrick, he'll turn the ball over a couple times. And then you look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense has obviously been awful, but we just talked about it. The Browns have a new offense coordinator. Baker Mayfield's taking some sacks. He's had some turnovers. And the Chiefs defense, despite not having Anthony Hitchens, their secondary is actually playing a little bit better than what we saw earlier in the season. I think they can turn over Baker Mayfield a couple times this week, too.
A couple of underrated quarterbacks to take a look at. You mentioned Matt Ryan's a guy you want to stay away from this week, and Daly makes a lot of sense. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger, too, against the Ravens. I don't know how you feel about that, but give me some quarterbacks under the radar that could be good value this week in your mind.
Yeah, absolutely stay away from Ben Roethlisberger. Dak Prescott, you know, he's had some good moments the last few weeks. Most of it's been running, but they just added Amari Cooper. You know, everybody forgets about the Cooper trade because it happened 2 weeks ago, but this is going to be the first time those two guys are together. And I guarantee you there's been a lot of conversations between Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett that all the critiques that they've taken for spending a first-round pick on a wide receiver, they will feature him on Monday night for sure. So don't be surprised if this is a two-touchdown game for Dak Prescott. You can look at Joe Flacco. You know, he put up 26 points in week four at Pittsburgh. He typically plays better at home. And I know the Steelers' defense has looked a little bit better of late, but they've also played some mediocre quarterbacks. I think you see Flacco going back home, have a good game this week also.
So you think Cole Beasley is going to take a big hit with Amari Cooper being there now as the number one target, the obvious number one target?
Yeah, he'll take a hit, but I think he also has the benefit of not having to worry about, you know, carrying the receiving corps. You know, slot
right.
receivers that are in that role that aren't, you know, a Jarvis Landry, Golden Tate type of guy. Beasley's had a lot of great moments, but I still think those numbers could be there for him. Not consistently, but they'll still be there for him on a few-week basis.
Makes sense. Jamie, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for popping on, my friend.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.